walked into the sanctuary and it wasn't really set up too much. And, oh my gosh, I walked in here and there was an aroma of wood. And it was like, it took me back to a memory that my dad was a carpenter. And I used to go, when I was just little, he'd take me on to the job with him, you know, when he'd have to stop at different construction sites where he went to. And he would, I just love like finding the nails and the hammer and just doing my own thing, you know. But just that smell was like, it just took me there. And it's like, I came to a place and my father is still here. His present, my heavenly father. I mean, my dad has since passed, but it was just that reminder. It's like, I am with you still, and I am a carpenter too. One of the things about love is you really have to trust, and when I go to the work sites with my dad, you know, when you're little, you don't really have a whole lot of fear. So I'd climb up on these ladders or these staircases that weren't anywhere completed, and I'd just, like, jump off. Ready or not, Dad, here I come, you know. And he told a story when Mitch and I got married. We did a tribute to our parents, and after I had, you know, done my tribute to my dad, he told that story, but he said, you know, Sarah used to crawl up the ladder and jump off whether or not he was ready. But he said, if there's anything that I've taught her was to trust her Heavenly Father that way. And I've been, you know, up and down through the years and stuff, but I just want to trust him more and more. So this workshop is about war cry, live to love. And I was thinking about a lot of things, and it's like, how do you narrow it down and describe live to love, you know? Because love is not something that you master. I can't give you tools and keys and say, you know, you apply this and you're going to have it and, you know, be a master at it. It's going to be something that it's continuous for the rest of your life, no matter where you are. And so before I even start, I just want to pray, because here's the deal. I'm going to share some things that, you know, that I've been studying, and they may seem random, but I think it's because the Lord has a nugget wherever you are, because he's all about love, and he's not going to leave one short. If you want what he has for you, you're going to have to contend for it. So I'm just here to share with some things that he's given me, but it's going to be up to you. The same as all of these workshops. It's going to be up to you to pull it down. It's going to be up to you to pull it down, tear it apart, rip it up, hear what the Lord says to you. That's your responsibility. That's your job. Because I can't do anything for you. I can only help you, but you're the one that has to do it. So, Lord, I just avail myself to you, Lord. And I pray that if anyone wants what you have for them today, Lord, that they would say, yes, Lord, change my mind, make my mind, renew my mind, break my mind, break my heart, make my heart, mold my heart, shape my heart. I just say yes, Lord, to what you have. that when we leave this place, you would start the next course, the next journey. We have not arrived unless we have taken our last breath. Bless Tom. So here's a familiar passage. What love is. It's patient. It's kind. It keeps no record. Are you a record keeper of what has been done to you, for you, against you? Are you a record keeper? It delights in no evil. It rejoices with truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. You know that always protect part? There are a lot of opportunities in situations where we would love to give our 2 cents, our opinion, at the cost of somebody else's protection, whether or not they deserve it. But love always protects. It is not envious. It is not boastful. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Nancy gave a message the last couple of days. She's been speaking about back to basics. That is back to basics. But you know what? That is a do's and don'ts list. And you can look at it like a do's and don'ts list, but that's not going to make you manifest love, because you can't live by the letter of the law. You can't live by ink. It says in 2 Corinthians 3, chapter 3, that you can't live by the letter of the law. You live by the love of the Spirit. You live life by the Spirit, not by ink. Therefore, anything I tell you, you can take it in. You can even agree with it and believe it. But unless you go out and live it, it won't do you any good. Love never fails. Never. It never fails. It's always patient. Love is always kind. Love never keeps a record. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes. You have all the gifts. You have faith, hope, and love, and the greatest is love. I'm running through some of this because it's familiar to you, and that's really not the meat of this, but there are basic, back-to-basic tools right here. It's like, you know how you have a manual and you have a troubleshooting section? You have to live it daily. And again, you're not going to master it, because love grows. You don't plant a seed and it's done. It grows. So when I was looking up, doing a little research in the Greek and the Hebrew. Havaha is the Jewish word for love. And it's more of a concept than a specific translation like you usually find in the Greek. So in Hebrew, it's a concept of giving. And love is that continuous giving. And when you give, you have a receiver. And it's like a marriage, whether it's a husband and wife or an unconditional friendship. It's like always giving, always giving, always giving. Not giving on conditions, not giving because you're getting something back, because you're giving, because you're getting filled up, because you just love, because no matter what they do, your love is patient, your love is kind, your love never, it always perseveres. That doesn't mean it's perfect. It doesn't say love is perfect. It says it doesn't fail. And God is love. God is love. God never fails. He is perfect. But the concept is it's a giving process that's developed. It's the act of giving oneself. It's more than helping. It's not just helping. It's giving yourself. Selflessness. Bahava is also a river and water in the Greek translation. So I looked up that in the Greek translation, and water and in the Greek is still water, and river in the Greek is still river. But it is a living water, and that is his spirit. In Jeremiah, it says there's two things that are sins. Jeremiah 2:13. It's like you've done all these things, but here's two things that are sins. You've forsaken me, the spring of living water. You've dug your own cisterns that cannot hold water. And, you know, the message has been, this is a mature group of people, Christians. And yet the Lord has this against us, that we have forsaken our first love. We've forgotten those things that drive us, compassion, unconditional love. We've forgotten to drink from that spring. Not all the time, but we get in a place where we're so comfortable, or we think we have the answers, or think we know how to operate in the spirit, but yet we're drinking, we've dug our own cistern. A while back, we were at a meeting, and we walked in, and this particular person said, you know, she was a stranger to me, but she says, she made a comment, and you know how you can just pick up people's feelings? I'm not talking about super spiritual, but you know when you're being dogged, you know? Bottom line, you know when somebody's like, they really like to say what they think, but she's like, well, so-and-so is not going to like that, you know? And I had a choice to make there. I could be offended or not, so it's like, it wasn't where I was at. It was where, you know, that person was coming from. But another 20-30 minutes later, she's up on the stage. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, change me, make me, you know, mold me. I've said yes. You know, that it's like, I love you when I want, but I'm going to do what I want over here and say what I want. Was she aware of it? I don't know. That's not my business, but, you know, we all do that. That's just an example, but we all do that. You know, if we are paying attention to our actions, because we get in this routine, this mode, this mindset, and we, you know, we make a decision, and then all of a sudden something changes, and we want to, you know, interject our own two cents. Listen, I do that all the time, and I'm constantly just like, oh my gosh, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me again. Did it again. I did it again, Lord. I'm just talking my thoughts, you know. They're not impure or bad. It's just, you want to change your mind? It's going to take some training. It's going to take a conscious effort. You're going to have to contend to change your mind. But here's the good news. You can't do it by the law. It's by the Spirit of the living water. This morning, I could hear these footsteps upstairs. I said, that would be Liz. And then a little while, I heard a voice. And I'm like, that would be Debbie. Sometimes I can hear things that I can't see where Nancy is, but sometimes I can hear, like, breathing, you know, something if she's on around a corner or a giggle or something. Or my husband, I can always tell when he's about to say something. Before a word even comes out, I can tell the sound that he makes in his mouth. You know why I know those things? Because I've spent time with those people. I've learned the sound of their character. God is love. You have to spend time with Him. It's not mechanical. You can't dig your own cistern. That did not sound good. So I have this cream. It's actually of Hafa cream. I can't even say it. But and I was thinking, what is it? Ahava. There we go. So it's actually foot cream. And I'm thinking, oh, man, I wish I had hand cream, you know, then people could go up and do their prophetic act and stuff, and it's like it's almost empty too. And I'm like, no. You want to put it on, you got to go back to the foundation. You want love, let the Lord strip you where you are. Everything you think you know. You know what love, how do I say this? It's hard to love arrogance, isn't it? And you're the last one to know. Nobody here, of course. But you want to, God is love. He is the one that needs to highlight and point out. And it's not about me this way. It's about, Lord, you shine your light in me and you show me. Not, oh God, help them to love more. No, Lord, you start with me. You start with my foundation. So whatever you can squeeze out of here, you're welcome to put it on your feet or whatever. But remember, it's going to require something of you. You can put it on, you can keep it to yourself. But one of the commandments of the Lord is that he said, if you love me, feed my sheep. So you can take it and you can put the food in your pockets or on your feet, or you can go feed a sheep. If he's given you something, if you've received something at this conference, there's a requirement on you. Nancy's been talking about the law of responsibility. Share the love isn't share the love, just do. As an expression. It's an action word. Live, not living, but live. What can I do? What am I doing right now to feed your sheep, Lord? What am I not doing? It's hot up here. See what time it is. I had to laugh when Sabra said, I got 22 pages of notes. That's 22 more pages than I have. I love you. Here's an example. I've been reading this book. Well, not just a book. You know how sometimes you just, all of a sudden, you just are like, you can't get enough of a certain topic or something. You just, it's like, it's not just in your own pursuit. It's like everywhere you look or what you hear, and it's like, it's as if you've got this trail of breadcrumbs, you know, wherever you go, and it's like right there. Well, that's how it's been for, oh gosh, I don't know how many months now, about speaking in tongues. So I'm like, just taking all in that I can get, and like, it's an incredible gift. And I know I shared a little bit the other night about my roots and growing up in a very conservative church. And, you know, we tend to fear what we don't understand. And that is true in love, too. Or if we've been hurt by something, that those walls, man, if we've been hurt, we want to put that wall of protection up. But love trusts at all times. Doesn't promise that we're not going to get hurt or wounded or shot down, but we are never in a place where we are crushed. We might be perplexed, but we're not, you know, because love never fails. So this prayer language, it makes no sense. Makes no sense to the mind. But the Lord says he's building something up in me. It's his language to me. It's his love language to me. I don't understand it. There is a gift of interpretations of tongues. There's different things that happen when you speak in tongues. You know, you get revelation sometimes or knowledge, or his word begins to illuminate, or it sets things up. I don't have that understanding of how it works. I just know it works. I don't know how my car works, but it works. I don't know how my cell phone works, but it works. I don't get that. But he is doing something in me because he is speaking his language to me, and because he is all love. He is love. He is changing me from the inside out, from the foundation out. And I'm counting on him because he's faithful. I'm trusting that he's going to illuminate within me those places where I am, like, got my mind set. Like, oh, by the way, my verse is Romans 12 through 16. Hoping, rejoicing, being patient in tribulation. You think I'm pausing so you can get your notes down? But having a mindset, considering yourself more, oh, basic word is arrogant, you know, thinking of yourself more than, higher than you ought to. I don't know if it worded it that way, but I could read it, but you can read it too. Rejoice, hope, patient in tribulation, steadfast in prayer, being the same mind versus set mind. I know that this is true. And it's not just true in the churches. It's a because there is good and evil. There's always going to be a conflict. And we see it in different, you know, it's in the homes, the schools, the churches, the countries, the nations, the societies. That's not a secret. But if everybody was on the same love source, it would be different. Now, so you're thinking, or at least I'm thinking, well, a lot of people are on the same love source, the Spirit of the living God, but we still have divisions, we still have conflict, we still have issues. But we need to go back to the basics of love. It keeps no records. It's always patient. It's always kind. It always perseveres. You know, Robert E. Lee said he was approached by man, he said, you know, there's a one of your soldiers that is not, he's of a lower rank. He said, what do you think of him? He said, he's a good soldier. And then the guy says, well, do you know he's been really critical of you and bad-mouthing you? What do you think of him now? And Robert E. Lee said, you asked me what I thought of him, not what he thought of me. If we can change our minds and not walk in love according to how we are treated, how we are received or not received, unconditional. You do what you know to do. The Lord calls it sin if you do what good you know to do and you don't do it. He calls that a sin. If you don't do the good you know to do, what's good and right, what's kind, what's patient, what keeps no record, that's on you. I say you, that's on me. I'm not responsible how I am treated, but I am responsible when I'm pushed and complexed and compressed in that tribulation, what is my essence? What comes out of me? Do you know that sense of smell, like I told you about in when I first walked in, our sense of smell is that, I don't know how to say it exactly, but I should smell more because it ignites our remembrance. It's a sense that ignites our remembrance. So what is my fragrance? That's what people are going to remember. It's either going to stink or it's going to be attractive. He gives us some tools because he knows we're human and we can't live by the letter of the law because that is extrinsic. He wants us to be intrinsic. He wants it to be by his Spirit. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commands. And you will obey. You'll obey my commands. You'll obey my teachings. We want to pick and choose which teachings are going to be most pleasing. We know it. We believe it. But are we doing it? He says that in John 15, he calls himself the vine, and the Father is the gardener. And the job of the gardener is to remove the bad fruit. If your root's not good, if your foundation's not good, if it's not in love, you're not going to produce good fruit. That's a basic principle. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. That's not a revelation. That's a basic principle. So it's not a secret that, you know, he's going to cut off the bad fruit. No reward there for doing naughties. We know that. No big deal. Not really a eye-opener there. But guess what? Would you say, ask yourself this, are you producing good fruit? Is Nancy producing good fruit? Amen. Is Debbie producing good fruit? Is Evelyn producing good fruit? Ben, Cheryl, you know, you're Mary Beth, you're producing good fruit. So why do we complain when the gardener says, when you produce good fruit, I'm going to prune you back? Why? More fruit. More fruit. For you? No, to feed his sheep. You know, you look at good fruit and you would think, well, why prune back? But you know what? If you said yes and you stick to it and you contend for it, if you want to go deeper in the living water, when he prunes you, he is doing a good thing. It hurts at first. It doesn't always have to be that painful. I remember one time I was doing some kind of woodworking thing and I rammed a sliver right underneath my fingernail. I know I don't need to say any more, but oh my God. You might as well have like chopped my head off or something. It was so painful. This little tiny little thing, you know, way up in there, right? Yeah. Look at it. Ah, what do I do now? Where's the love in that, you know? Oh my God, as soon as I pruned it, tremendous relief. Because it was something that did not belong there. It wasn't that big, it wasn't that obvious, it wasn't obvious to anyone else. I knew it was there. But it hurts at first. I'm sure we all have slivers in our butt, you know. I'm sure I do. I'm sure I do. I'm sure that's safe to say. Yes. Here's the good news. Our Father does not use a switch on us. He may switch us, go this way, but he uses the belt of truth. He doesn't use that switch. He uses the belt of truth. And he's loving, and oh my gosh, when he removes it, it's like, thank you. We have to remain connected to the vine. About that arrogant, branches are broken off because of unbelief. So don't be arrogant. Be afraid. That's from Romans 11:20. See, we get, like that illustration I shared earlier about that person that like totally dogged me, you know. And then over here, she was like, you know, yes, Lord, I want more of you, I want more of you. She forgot who supported her roots. Maybe just in that second. But here's another thing. Here's where the love comes in. Love is patient. We don't give people room for God to prune. We don't give God room to do what he's doing to try to bring out that sweet essence in other people. And if he's doing the squeezing and trying to get those things out of us, the reason he wants it out is because it's not attractive or it's not good. So guess what? I mean, he tries to do things subtly first, but if he has to expose it, everybody sees it. So where's our patience? Where's our love? Where's our unconditional grace? Do a Robert E. Lee. Doesn't matter what he thinks of me. It's what I said. Don't let the influence of the bad fruit or the good fruit influence what God has given you. I don't know if that's right to say about the good fruit, because we need each other, and in fact, I'll retract, because that isn't true. Because God says bad character corrupts, or bad company corrupts good character. Good character builds. But, you know, iron sharpens iron also. So that gift of tongues, that was just one area. I mean, there's many gifts, you know that. But whatever gift, and I know in your presentation, Mary Beth, you said if you're keeping your gifts, you're stingy, you know. So that pretty clear cut what that means. But that is not to say by any means that if you don't have that gift manifested of tongues, that the Spirit of God is not working in might and power in you. That's just one manifestation. And he gives freely, and he wants us to eagerly desire those gifts. So it's not a right or wrong. I'm not judging that. He hasn't judged that. That's not our business. But what I do know is that whatever gift that he has given you, or that's your desire, he's not going to revoke them. And if you just hold on just one second here. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. And see, my topic is live to love, but I can't tell you how to live to love without the gifts that he has given us so that we can live to love. So that it's not in our own strength. It is by his Spirit. His gifts are by his Spirit. Not because you deserve it, not because I deserve it, not because of anything you have done or have not done. It is just because of love. He does it because he's God and he can do what he wants. He sees beginning from the end. And he knows how to work the whole universe, and then some. That gift is like any gift, whatever it is, it's something that it's an undeserved benefit. Now, who does not like a benefit? You can't revoke it. It's given without regret or remorse for its actions because it's done for, listen to this, this is actually in one of the Greek translations. It's given for the purpose of deep conviction. It's intrinsic. It will last because it's from the inside out. It's from the root out. Good root. His gifts. But you got to keep it kindled. In 2 Timothy 6, this is the NIV. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is given to you through the laying on hands. For the Spirit of God gave us, does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Those gifts that he has put in us, it's not to be fear or timid or... But it gives us power, love, and sound mind. In one of these versions, where it says it's not to make us timid, fearful, it is. If you look back in some of the older biblical literature, it actually says it's not. It was a term used so that you did not flee on the battlefield. This is a war cry. Those gifts are given so that you can stand strong on the battlefield. You need them. Would you like to go out on the battlefield naked? They clothe you with power from the inside out and love. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift that was given you. Remember, because my topic is love, I'm going to concentrate and just say that's love. I mean, the greatest of them is love. You can have everything, you know, straight and order, beautiful, but you know what? If you don't have love, it's nothing. Kindle means to awaken something, excite something, awaken the gift, excite the gift. This is why I remind you to keep using the gift God gave you. That's the New Century Translation. Do not neglect your gift. I say that because it started out with, it's really up to you. And over in that verse, it says, you don't neglect it. You keep it fanned into flame. There is a responsibility put on you to keep your own flame burning. Luckily for you, I brought this little fan. If you feel like your love has gone out, it may look like it has, but you know that where once burned a fire, that area can look dead and black with ash, but you fan it. And you can find those embers. But you're going to have to find them. You're going to have to spend time with the one. When he walks by, you recognize his footsteps. You're going to have to spend time with the one. When you hear that breathing, you know who it is. You have to spend time with the one so that when you walk in and you hear that, you smell that wood, you recognize the carpenter. Nobody can do it for you. It's pretty easy when you come to a conference and everybody's full of love and stuff, but you got to go home and you're going back to the same pattern. You can do that, or you can contend for it. And you know, maybe it's great when you go home. But remember, the Lord wants to prune those things that are already producing. You're going to have to fan into flame what the Lord has put in you. I tell you, this weekend I know that I have seen many impartations, whether you moved or not. If you are in a place where the presence of God is, you cannot leave without something happening. But it's up to you to let it happen. You have to contend for it. You have to fan it into flame. You cannot count on anyone else. If you have an addiction, it does no good for somebody else to try to break it for you. It's got to be you. Whether it's an addiction, whether it's a habit, whether it's gossip, you know, everybody else might notice it, recognize it, but it's got to be you. And he is so loving because he never fails. He is all love. Love never fails. Let me just look at a few things, see if I... keep my fire going. In Jude, it talks about building yourself up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in God's love. That's verses 20 and 21. Building yourself up in the most holy faith. Keeping yourself in God's love. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourself. Don't count on your neighbor to keep you, or your loved ones, or your spouse. You know what happens when your fire goes out? You can't ignite anything else. I just want to make one more point from Jude. Because it was foretold that you're going to have people that come in. Now it says church, but you know, your church is basically where you are. It's not just the walls. You're going to have people coming in with the appearance of the Spirit. But they're going to be just waves that rise up and fall down. They're going to be stars without a shine. That's what it says in Jude. But they don't have the living water. But the Lord wants to keep yourself built up so when you're on the battlefield, you don't flee. You've got to keep it stirred up. You have to contend for it. Live to love is an active, it's just active. You're never going to master it. You just got to live it out daily. You have to live by love. And you have to contend for it in love. But you're only responsible for yourself. And if you live in love, God is love, and he's going to take care of all the details. It always trusts. You can't say, Lord, I trust you for this, but I'm going to put this, keep it in this situation. It's not trusting. Always trust, no matter what you think or don't think the outcome should be, or however you want to manipulate it. Take your hands off. Watch what it'll do.